Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Another IndyCar hostage situation during the news.
Hey, it's not my fault they decided to periscope live from Turn 3 at Phoenix. It's nice to see the IndyCars at Phoenix again.
Kevin, tell everybody exactly how many people are on Periscope right now watching it.
In the 4 minutes that I saw, there was 156.
World population, approximately 7 billion.
But not everybody is awake right now, and not everybody has Periscope right now open.
Country population, 340 million.
Not everybody is awake there either.
Repeating once again, 128. And that includes owners. All
that
right,
does not let's... include owners, and you know it. I can smell the ethanol now.
Then if I were you, I wouldn't eat so much roast beef. All right, let's get to... Let's get to the play-by-play call of the day. It is great to be the play-by-play guy on KNBR for the Warriors.
Bear is out to Draymond. Inside Curry, pump fake, layup. It's up and good. And Curry's got 51 points. 51 for Steph Curry. And it's 125 to 110. First Warrior with three 50-point games since Rick Barry in 73-74.
They're just ridiculous. We're going to get to Tony DeFazio in a moment. But Oscar Robertson, one of the true greats of all time, and Isaiah Thomas, both were taking a few shots at Steph Curry yesterday. Now, I was talking to some friends earlier this week, and I said, look, I really like the fact I'm at the age I'm at. Because I saw Oscar Robertson play. I saw Bill Russell play. I saw Bobby Hull and Gordie Howe play. I saw Jim Brown play. I saw Mickey Mantle play. Some of these people I saw play in person. I saw all these guys play. So when I look back on eras, we have so many young sportscasters now that to them, Oscar Robertson is something they have to look up on Wikipedia. That's fine. I understand that. You have to do what you need to do to get a perspective on something. I don't have to. I saw him play. He averaged a triple-double 1 year in the NBA. But the game was also slightly different back then, too. Robertson was a really good outside shooter, about 46% shooter between layups and jump shots. Really good for his career, 46%, very, very good. But the game was played more from the top of the key in. Now with the 23-9 arc out there, your defense is a bit different. That's 23-9 at the top. It's 22 in the corners. Because at 23-9, you got to give them a little bit more than 18 inches to 2 feet in the corner to shoot. So that's why it's 22 feet. And Curry does things I just have never seen before. And Curry absolutely could have played in Oscar Robertson's era. He absolutely could have played in Isaiah Thomas's era. And conversely, Oscar Robertson and Isaiah Thomas would both be great players in this era. I've always been a big believer that if you're great in one era, you're just playing great. You're just playing great. And that you can play in any era. I've always believed that. Bill Russell would be a heck of a player today. Bobby Orr would be electric today. Conversely, Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby would both have been great in Orr's era. Jimmy Brown would be awesome today. I think Adrian Peterson would have been a great running back in the 50s and 60s. Mickey Mantle would have hit home runs today. Miguel Cabrera in Mickey Mantle's era would have been a great hitter. I think if you got it, you got it. Great, now I'm getting hostage notes. 777 total viewers on the app and on the web.
Thank you.
As of 2013, there are 7.125 billion people in the world. Of that 7.125 billion, 777 are watching Periscope right now of an IndyCar going around alone.
All right. You have to admit, it is cool to be able to see something live from all the way across the country and not have to have it on a television network. Oh, I forgot. You have an anti-technology streak.
No, I don't. I watched a bowl game after the Penn State Drexel game. After the Penn State Drexel game, as an example, went back to my hotel room because we had an early morning flight to Las Vegas. I think we had to be up and out of the hotel by 4:30 in the morning. But I really wanted to see Colorado State playing a bowl game against Nevada, and that was the one non-televised game. So I watched it online.
You watched a game online?
Yeah.
Wow. That's the first and only to this point, isn't it?
No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Because in the NCAA tournament, before they went to the format with True TV, TBS, TNT, in conjunction with CBS, that you could go online, you could watch games on NCAA.org. And I always watch games on there until they did this. So, and I've done it before.
I'm surprised. I remember you telling me that you didn't watch games on an app.
No, that is not what I said.
Okay, what did you say then?
I don't watch tape delayed games.
Well, I know that. That I do know.
Because if I know the score, I really don't want to watch it. Now, obviously I watch a lot of tape of opponents all the time.
That's
so obviously
different.
Those are tape delay games, but that's different. That's taking notes and figuring some things out. Let's bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh sports reporter, cranked out a 4.52 today at the combine. Tony,
in the 20.
Yeah. Tony, what do you watch for in this? I mean, is there a couple of positions you're watching for because that's a Steeler need, or what do you watch for?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, personally, you know, I kind of like to see some guys, you know, it's fun to watch a guy run a 4.2 or something like that. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I guess if you're down to one guy versus another and everything is equal, it matters what their 40 time is.
Yeah.
you know, Kevin Colbert has really downplayed the combine. I think the Steelers use the combine. I think a lot of teams use the combine for interview purposes and to get to know a kid and to maybe do some research and find out some things, find out how they react, you know, to these situations. I think that's one thing, too. If, you know, it may not matter what your numbers are, but, you know, how do you react when everybody's watching you and if you're prepared for it, although, you know, I say that stuff and a couple of years ago they draft a guy who really failed the test at the combine, and that was Mike Adams. Yeah. You know, a guy who clearly did not prepare for the combine, and the Steelers took him anyway. And you get what you pay for, I suppose, and that's what's happened with Adams. So it is interesting. Sometimes they gamble, sometimes they don't. You like to think they take the safe route most times, but I guess if you think the gamble's there, sometimes it pays off to take it.
Yeah, and then there's Mike Mamula, who wows everybody, and
right,
he ends up being the workout wonder.
One example of where a gamble kind of did pay off until it didn't was with Santonio Holmes.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they were able to get a Super Bowl out of him before he, you know, went the way they were afraid he would go. But they got a Super Bowl out of him, so I guess that one worked.
But you know what, though? To me, there is a litmus test, and that is, you know, did the guy help you win a championship? And if he helped you win a championship, he would, you know. To me, that's part of what makes it worth having somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. No question. I would agree. And yeah, I suppose there are, you know, examples like that, and examples where you know it didn't pay off. And one interesting one for them right now that is still happening is Martavis Bryant. You know, will he? You know, which way will he go?
All right. Is there anybody they want to tag the Steelers at this stage? Because I mean, there's a lot of talk that the Redskins will tag Kirk Cousins. Is there anybody that the Steelers would be interested in tagging?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't see that happening this year. They've used it pretty infrequently. They have on occasion. They used it with Lamar Woodley in the past. They used it with Jason Worlds in the past as well, very recently. But, you know, this year there hasn't been a lot of talk about it, and I don't know that that's necessarily something they're going to do, this season.
All right. Let me ask, this is an interesting, and it's only pure speculation. I always, the Steelers and the Patriots, and to a point the Broncos, have over the last 15 years have kind of defied the roller coaster that the NFL's designed to be. They're always in the neighborhood of the playoffs and always in the neighborhood of fighting for a championship. Considering Roethlisberger and so forth, what kind of window, championship window, do the Steelers, what are they currently in? Is it a couple of years, 3 years, 4 years? Are they, you know, what kind of window do you see them right now based on the roster that they have at this moment?
You know, I think it's small. I think it might be 2 years, and the reason I say that really comes down to one position, and that's Ben Roethlisberger. You can talk all you want about, you know, Le'Veon Bell being the best running back in football. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. He's probably in the conversation when he's healthy. Antonio Brown has been unbelievably productive. They've got some young linebackers who, if everything goes well, you know, could develop into a crew that plays together and plays at a high level for a while. They've got some nice defensive linemen that can do the same. But they had all those things, and they didn't have a franchise quarterback, and they were a playoff team who bowed out all the time early because of that. It wasn't until they got Roethlisberger that they became a team that did exactly what you said, and that is, you know, always in the neighborhood of the playoffs, and when you get to the playoffs, the championship is something you believe you can win every year because of the guy taking the snaps. So to me, his window is getting shorter and shorter. When he's healthy, I think he's playing as well as he ever has. You have to assume that he's just going to be healthy less and less because of his age and the wear and tear. You know, he missed four games and parts of a couple of others this past season. And when he was out, they were not the same team. Now, if the defense is better, you know, they don't need to score 35 points every game. And maybe it's easier to get by without your quarterback for a game or two. But to me, it's a small window. And I think they are very cognizant of that. And I think because of that, they are going to go all out to win a Super Bowl in these next, you know, two seasons. And that's a guess on my part, but right. I think that's what they're looking at.
The talk show, it's all guesswork. All right. Now the next one, let's transition to the Pirates. I'll ask you the same question about them, based on how the organization operates and where they are right now. How wide do you consider their current window?
I would respond to that by saying window to do what? Window to be a playoff team?
Window to be a championship, to win a championship.
You know, that I don't know, because I don't know that, and fans are not going to want to hear this, I don't know that that's necessarily the Pirates' ultimate goal. And I know that that would cause people to, you know, to lose their minds, and even I'm sure the Pirates would react negatively to hearing me say that. I think they want to be.
It's all good, Tony. We have arm guards.
Good. I think they want to be a team that's at the craps table every year. A team that is going to be able to roll the dice every year, and one of these years, you hope that the numbers come up your way. I think they want to be a playoff team every year, or close to a playoff team every year, and I think that they've established a pretty long window for that. Some people will say once they lose Andrew McCutchen, not if, but when they lose Andrew McCutchen, the window closes. I maybe the window closes on a championship at that point for a couple of years, but I think what they're trying to put together is a team that can withstand a loss like that. Maybe you take a step back in the immediate year afterward, but then you continue to go forward, much the way the Cardinals did when they lost Pujols. The Cardinals spend money in a different way than the Pirates do, obviously, but I think that is what the Pirates are trying to build, something that where they're at the table every year, kind of the way the Steelers were under Bill Cowher. You know, they weren't necessarily a championship team every year, but boy, if you keep showing up and you keep rolling those dice, one of these days the number's going to come up in your favor.
All right, then the final one's on the Penguins. Now my question about them is, in reality, though, is their window closed?
Ah, boy, it's hard for me to say it's not. I mean, you know, on one hand, when you have a team with Crosby and Malkin and Chris Letang and Marc-Andre Fleury, and they're all playing very good hockey right now. Malkin obviously is injured, but Crosby's turned his season around. When you can say that about four guys, how can you say the window's closed? But reality, you know, shows us something different. To me, the overhaul to get them from just sneaking into the playoffs to becoming one of the teams that has a realistic chance to beat anybody in a seven-game series, they're a long way from that. They're just a couple of years removed from that, Steve, but boy, they just don't look anything like a team that can beat anybody in a seven-game series. To me, the only teams they can beat in a seven-game series are ones that aren't making the playoffs at this point. So, I think that window right now, as this team is currently constituted, is probably closed, and I think it's going to take some major moves and some major, looking in the mirror, quite frankly, as to how they're doing business to turn something like that around.
Tony, it was just fun having a little speculation time. I appreciate it very much.
The news kept getting worse as we went along, didn't it?
Well, it was actually, if you notice the pattern, I designed it that way. I want all the passengers completely depressed by the end of the trip.
Good stuff, Steve. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony. That's the goal, make all the passengers depressed by the end of the trip. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070. WKOK, your home for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is celebrating President's Day now through the end of the month with their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from over 400 new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs with savings up to 11 grand. Get from over 50 of the stylish 2016 Ford Fusion and take $3,000 off. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. And they start as low as $19,765. SMC has 75 of the top-selling 2016 Ford Escape with savings of $2,750. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 6 years. And they're priced from just $20,490. Last year, Sunbury Motors was one of the top-selling F-150 dealers in the entire Harrisburg and Philadelphia region. And they're loaded up with over 100 Ford trucks in stock with savings up to 11 grand. See for yourself why more people are heading to Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all of central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Great to have you with us here on the show today. Steve Williams in studio in just a few minutes to talk about high school wrestling. Windows of opportunity have become, really a part of the sports landscape professionally. It doesn't really enter in so much on the college side because of the turnover in talent being so constant. But in the NFL, NHL, NBA, and Major League Baseball, windows of opportunity are there based on contracts and based on how long you can keep a group together. And in the NFL, age enters into it, contracts enter into it, free agents enter into it, the comings and goings, who has the money, who doesn't. In Major League Baseball, you're constantly being able to change the landscape. You can sign a couple of key free agents here and there. LeBron James has changed the landscape by moving to Miami and then moving back to Cleveland. So windows of opportunity to win, they are not as great as people realize. There are no dynasties any longer where you sit there and you crank out in a 15-year period all these championships. That's why you look at the Chicago Blackhawks, 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. It's about as close to a dynasty right now that you're going to get in the NHL. In the NBA, they've all been a couple here and a couple there of late. What San Antonio has done has been remarkable. That's as close to a recent dynasty in the NBA as you have seen based on the 5 championships they have over Tim Duncan's tenure there with San Antonio. In the NFL, with the Patriots, the Steelers, and to a point what the Broncos have done by staying relevant almost every single year. Maybe not Super Bowl worthy, but relevant in the playoff chase every year. That's really big. And in baseball, you're really not, I mean, what, outside of the Cardinals? You've got the Giants winning three championships over a five-year span. The Red Sox won three over a 9-10 over 10 seasons. And the Cardinals have been in the neighborhood almost every year. That's about as close as you get to any kind of dynasty these days. Just because the rules dictate it. You don't have those long 10-15-year runs by teams anymore. Everything's done in short spurts, and there only is a small window of opportunity to win. It keeps more people in it, although Cleveland Brown fans are saying, when's our window starting?
Yeah, we'd like to see a window.
Hey, window would be cool. So, it's interesting. Very interesting. And that's why you look at, like he was talking about the Pirates, Andrew McCutchen. I mean, it's really difficult to realistically feel that Andrew McCutchen's going to be there with as a member of the Pirates 7-8 years from now. So wouldn't you think their window of opportunity really is to do something is over the next 3 years? Steve Williams will check in on high school wrestling. Kevin will check in on Periscope as one of the 777 members worldwide in a population of 7.125 billion people. Of that 7.125 billion, 777 are watching Periscope, humming Only the Lonely in a Roy Orbison moment.
Maybe it's because it's just a good song.
Or maybe it fits.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by our awesome friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Store's really well laid out. Plenty of room to operate, plenty of help to get the cases to the car. Soft drinks, snacks, water. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. It is all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Bozo of the day, the Atlantic Coast Conference. Grayson Allen has tripped two players in the past 10 days. You watch the Florida State game, it is obvious he trips the player. It doesn't take much imagination. The ACC will not suspend him. Mike Krzyzewski has not suspended him. Really? Hey, ever be tripped and hit a wood floor hard while running? Mike Krzyzewski did call Leonard Hamilton and apologize to him for the incident. The problem is not that he did it once. It's the second time he's done it. He tripped a player in the Louisville game, too. Don't know. But Grayson Allen, Bozo of the Day, in conjunction with the ACC. By the way, the Redskins are going to tag Kirk Cousins. That's the bottom line. They're either going to give him a transition tag or they're going to give him a franchise tag. One of the two. And they also are looking at the possibility, they're talking to at least two teams about RG3 as a trade. Let's bring in Steve Williams now. Steve, welcome. Great to have you with us back at the show. Talk a little wrestling.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right, so how does this lay out now? Give us a few names here that we need to watch for as this progresses toward Hershey.
Well, on the AAA side, of course, we're going to be focusing our attention, like we have all season long, on the Shikellamy Braves, but also bringing in the Selins Grove Seals just down the road a piece. They will have a couple of wrestlers that will certainly be able to contend here in the next couple of weeks. The Braves' best shot will be Nick Gittins at 126 pounds. He's a top seed going into the tournament. And as I look down through the brackets and, you know, back through some of the rankings throughout the season, it seemed like a lot of the guys that were ranked throughout the Northwest have abandoned that weight. A couple of them actually went up in weight. A bunch of them dropped in weight, leaving Nick there kind of by himself. He should be able to get through this weekend without a whole lot of trouble. He's pretty much beaten everybody in the bracket already. His toughest competition is going to be next week with wrestlers from District 6 coming in to the Northwest Regional Tournament. But a lot of those guys he's already beaten as well. So, you know, it's one of those things that if he goes in with the determination that he's had all year long, you know, that's what he needs to do to get through to Hershey. After that, boy, you know, it's anybody's guess as the way the things get thrown together and who's where and whatever. You know, the Shikellamy's other chances at the you know, at moving some wrestlers along, and as I look down through, I think they're probably going to move 10 wrestlers into the next tournament. After that, you know, you've got to finish in the top three to get a trip to Hershey. You know, Jeremy Bacon is a second seed at heavyweight, and as I look down through, even through the wrestlers that are in the tournament next week, other than Josh Fye, who's top ranked in the state right now at heavyweight, the next eight kids are all within a point of each other. They've all either wrestled each other or, you know, kind of gone back and forth with different opponents. And the scores are all close. They're all 1-2 point scores. We don't see a lot of falls. So, you know, that group is very, very close. And it's going to be whoever really wants it the most is the guy that's going to get through there. Now, to beat Josh Fye, that's another story. He's a man among boys. He's really something from Bald Eagle area. The Braves also have a second-seeded wrestler at 113 pounds in Frank Quinones, and at 145 pounds, Jordan Hepler, who has wrestled 152 and 160 all season long for the Braves. Jordan, a junior, a very unorthodox wrestler. He's given people some trouble, so it'll be interesting to see how Jordan does with his move down to 145. He's only wrestled there one time this season, although he's weighed close to that weight, so it wasn't a big weight drop for him. As far as the Selins Grove Seals, their best shot is Drew Boob at 220 pounds. Boob was a medal winner last season, a trip to the state championships in Hershey. They also have another guy by the name of Joey Radel. Radel is at 182 pounds. He actually went up in weight. He had been wrestling down at 170 through most of the season. Don't really know why he went up unless he was having trouble holding his weight, but you know, that size difference in those bigger weights, that's quite a bit. So I'll have to wait and see how he performs as far as going up in weight. That's kind of a tough thing to do at that weight. So that's kind of what the what I'm seeing as far as the AAA action. Of course, top four wrestlers in the districts tomorrow between District 4 and District 9 advanced to the Northwest Regionals, which is out in Altoona, along with District 6 and District 10 and the Pittsburgh District. I forget what the district number is out there. They generally don't send a lot of kids, that really threaten to do much. But, when you get out to Erie, that's a tough wrestling area as well.
Well, and that's what I was just going to ask you. A lot of fans are going, well, that's great. Why in the world do our kids out of District 4 have to take a drive to Clearfield and then to Altoona to get to Hershey? That math, that geographically doesn't necessarily work if you're from the eastern part of the state.
Well, if you notice, Kevin, on your drive to work, there's a lot of trees here, and that all changed a couple of years ago when they admitted the Philadelphia schools into the PIAA, and what that did is it brought those District 12, is the PIAA Philadelphia area, moved them into the northeast region. And kind of crowded out District 4, which next year is going to be even smaller. District 4, only four teams this year, will be three teams next year, kind of push them out and push them out to the west. And if you recall, the first 2 years after that happened. They actually traveled out to Clearfield to wrestle out there against District 9, but that was supposed to go 2 years and then move back into District 4 for 2 years. The District 9 wrestling said they did not want to come in. District 4 said, well, then we'll go back to having our own tournament. And it's getting to the point where it isn't going to be the choice of the districts. It's going to be the PIAA saying, look, you go here because, you know, a three-team tournament isn't going to do anybody any good. A four-team tournament really didn't do anybody any good.
And on the other side of that, when you throw the AA and you look at the AA wrestling, there's going to be obviously more teams, as you mentioned, in AA next year. They already have a sectionals before they get to districts. Are they going to have to find another way to split up District 4 AA? Even a third way to try and set everything up for districts?
No,
so it's not a week-long tournament?
No, I think what they'll do is they'll have four equal size sectionals or as close as they can get the sectionals. And if it goes to a pigtail bracket, it doesn't really add a whole lot of extra time into a tournament if you go to a pigtail bracket because you generally have two or three maybe extra matches in there. I mean, I've not heard any talk of anything like that. I'll hear more in the next couple of weeks, you know, as we get down around, you know, with some of the PIAA folks and some of the things that they're talking about as far as, you know, whatever realignments they may have in mind. But, yeah, you know, the AA, and the AA as far as District 4 goes, those guys have always kind of had their way. If they get out of that District 4 tournament, they go into the Northeast Regional Tournament with District 2, and the majority of those guys are going to go through to Hershey if they can get a qualification spot this weekend. That's, you know, we've seen that for years.
And Kevin, of course, wants to know about the influence of charter schools. He's really...
Well, as far as we'd love to have some AAA charter schools,
yeah,
just to get some.
That doesn't happen as much in wrestling.
To get some more feet out on the mat. The only charter school, I believe, in District 4 that competes in wrestling is Sugar Valley.
Sugar Valley.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding because it's just you listen to him. And, you know, it's just, he's not big on what the Pope done is with schools, and he's not big on what charter schools are. So.
Listen, wrestling is more than willing to offer charter schools an opportunity to come in. Basketball, we've got enough. Thanks.
Well, I'll tell you what, go down to the Lehigh Valley and ask them what they think about Catholic schools down there. You know, Bethlehem Catholic has been the team champion for the last couple of years. They moved to AAA last year to get some competition, and they've been blowing everybody away, and they're not very well liked down there. I can tell you that because of the obvious recruiting that they do.
Winners rarely are.
Well, you know, it's just they're not, and they not only upset the PIAA people, they are kind of step on the toes of the other parochial schools because, and I never really understood this, but I guess parochial schools also have areas. And they actually go out of their area, from what I understand, to grab up wrestlers. They'll go up to Stroudsburg and Palisades up in that area, which is out of their parochial area to get wrestlers. And that has upset not only the PIAA folks, but the parochial school folks.
Maine and North Carolina, that's a little bit out of the range.
It's when you start to see kids that have zip codes that are not familiar, that get you worried. Right?
They have come in from New Jersey.
What's the quality of depth of wrestling you've seen this year? Is it about the same, a little bit better, a little bit worse?
It seems to be just a little bit better than what we've had in the last couple years, probably a little bit more even. The problem that I've seen in this area with all the schools, really, is just the number of kids that are out for the sport. If they don't start, they quit. Shikellamy, for instance, had 14 kids. They were lucky enough that they were spread out enough that they could fill 14 weights. You know, you get a place like Benton, who has a co-op agreement with Millville, you know, that's a small area to start off with, and they're forfeiting four or five weights. And, you know, it's different than basketball where the numbers have to be a little bit higher. And really where that translates in wrestling is in your quality of wrestling, because you don't have those workout partners. If you look at, you know, international wrestling and, you know, world wrestling, these guys will move wherever it is that they can get the best workout partner, because that workout partner is really the key.
Several have moved here.
Absolutely.
Some work out of here, yeah.
You know, and that's the key. The key is it's not, you know, if you win this tournament or that tournament, it's your workout partner, because he's the guy that you're spending 30 or 40 hours a week, you know, to beat that Russian guy. And that's, you know, that's true in any level of wrestling, is that you're really only as good as the guy above and below the weight in the weight room with you on your own team.
Steve Jones, you can tell me if I'm paraphrasing this wrong, but you had Ken Cherto on not that long ago. We were talking about the numbers being down for wrestling, and one of the things he said, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, he would like to see more junior varsity tournaments available, and give these kids that aren't getting a lot of wrestling time at the varsity level an opportunity, and then be able to want to wrestle again.
Yeah, he did say that. I mean, the numbers have been down nationwide, but the number of Division I programs is down too. It's down to 75 now. I mean, so it's not it has not been, as much as they've worked hard at it, it's not been a growth sport.
No, it really hasn't. It's definitely a cottage sport. You know, you go to, you know, Tennessee or, you know, Oregon, and they have no idea what you're talking about. In fact, I think I just saw in the paper, in one of the wrestling websites that I look at, a kid that was not a bad wrestler from Cannon McMillan won to Texas and was a state champion. And you see that a lot where, you know, if kids move out of state, they do that because, you know, Oklahoma, Iowa, and Pennsylvania, and to some extent even New Jersey, they're the strongholds for high school wrestling. And that's where the NCAA coaches are going to get their talent. You know, that's why Penn State has the coach they have, because he knew where that talent was coming from.
All right. And that's I would say, what, New Jersey, Pennsylsylvania, Oklahoma, Iowa. Fair enough.
I mean, you've got California and Arizona have become pretty strong as well. Arizona has a pretty good collegiate program out there as well.
Arizona State has a great program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, and then Morgan McIntosh, for example, is from California.
Yeah.
Who's here? But after that, you're a little lean on other states.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been how many years since, you know, Title IX came in? And, you know, I can remember one year it was just boom, boom, boom. You know, Tennessee's dropping their program. Florida's dropping their program. LSU dropped their program. It was all in one year. And, you know, now you've got, you know, the Big Ten, without a doubt, the strongest wrestling conference. Everybody's got a team. They're always ranked highly in the nation. They're fighting each other for recruits. And then, you know, North Carolina State, if you look, they come to Pennsylvania and recruit a lot. You know, and a lot of the smaller Pennsylvania schools, you know, I know guys that recruit for Division II, Division III schools. And I say, who are you looking at? And they said, you know what? Somebody that makes a qualification to Hershey, we're looking at. And if they medal, we're really looking at them, because, you know, they're not going to get the 2-3-4-time state champions. They're going to get the place winners to wrestle in those smaller schools.
Yeah, in fact, the Big Ten is the only Power 5 conference where everyone wrestles. And in the SEC, only Missouri wrestles, and they have to wrestle in the MAC. Hey, Steve, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Steve. I'll be heading out your way and passing right on through tomorrow morning early in the day. So, you know, if you don't have anything to do, head on down to Clearfield. I understand it's very nice this time of year.
Wow. Yeah, it certainly is. Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks.
We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Closing up shop for the week. Penn State basketball Sunday. The Nittany Lions will take their crack at a team, I think, right now. We'll probably get better odds than anyone else to win the national championship. That's Michigan State. Michigan State hit a little bit of a a crack in the road, maybe mid-January to just about the beginning of February. But since February turned, they've hit the accelerator. What you'll notice in college basketball, for the most part, is that a team's big conference stats, a player's conference stats and a team's conference stats are lower than their overall non-conference stats. The top four scorers for Michigan State, Denzel Valentine, Matt Costello, Bryn Forbes, and Aaron Harris, all their numbers are higher in Big Ten play. You know, like, why is it lower? Well, usually it's lower because, look, familiarity, scouting, court gets tighter, possessions get fewer. Michigan State, though, Denzel Valentine, Matt Costello, Bryn Forbes, and Aaron Harris, their numbers are all higher in Big Ten play. Shooting percentage, points per game, rebounds are about the same. That's impressive. That is impressive. Hope you enjoyed our high school wrestling preview today. Big weekend coming up in Clearfield. Clearfield, destination spot.
Yeah, I think the double A is Williamsport this year, this week.
Good. There you go.
Up at the Magic Dome.
And Isaiah Washington, by the way, on the postgame show last night.
He spent some time in the Magic Dome.
I said to him, I said, you're from Williamsport. I said, I have to admit, over the last couple of weeks, you've played like a millionaire. I said, if you can get the double figures in scoring, you'll be a billionaire. All right.
I believe I called a game with him in his junior year at Williamsport, I think.
He still talks about that. He was mentioning that to me last night.
He was very proud of it, too. I know.
No, he said, Kevin Hurd did my game. I said, yeah. I said, terrific
stuff. And I remember him saying how talented he thought I was. That was what he followed up with, right?
I started to well up. All right.
like I said before, there's only two guys. Actually, yeah, two guys that made it to the NBA and that I actually called a game in high school.
Okay.
Bob Sir was one.
Oh, Bob Sir. Oh, yeah. Out of, yeah, sure. I remember Bobby Sir out of Wilkes-Barre?
Dallas. Yep.
Yeah.
I think it was Dallas.
Oh, no, it was not Dallas. Bobby Sir was not from Dallas.
Was it GAR?
I think so, because the reason why I know that is because I lived in Dallas for two years when I was going to Penn State Wilkes-Barre campus, so I know Bobby Sir wasn't from Dallas.
It must have been Wilkes-Barre GAR because we covered him playing Dallas a lot.
Right. And who's the other guy?
I don't remember the name. Somebody actually told me about it because I had said that was the only one I remember. They said, well, you did one other one, but I don't remember his name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. It was, Kareem.
I don't think it was.
Some guy named Ferdinand Lewis Alcindor Jr.
Don't recall that one. I'd remember that name.
Well, that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I know. As I said, I'd remember that name.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.